Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Hey, what's going on, Fusion Church? So excited that you are jumping into soaping with us today. We are in Proverbs chapter 12. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. But as I like to say every time I teach, it's not about the translation you read, because whatever translation you read is best. But I'm letting you know in case you want to follow along with the words that I'm reading from. Again, it's going to be Proverbs chapter 12. For all those watching live on Zoom, come on, my Zoom people. Can we get loud inside of the chat? Hey, hi, hello, clap, praise hands, whatever. Shout from the rooftops. All those watching live, hey, we love answering questions if you have any for yourself. I know the book of Proverbs, each verse could pretty much be a sermon. So if you have a verse that's just standing out to you, you have questions about, I have no problem just unpacking what it is that is on your mind and on your heart. So be sure to drop that inside of the chat. Aside from that, if you have a verse that stands out to you, I love hearing how God is speaking to you guys. So make sure you drop it in the chat just so we can see what is stirring inside of your spirit. Now, let's pray together. Let's welcome God and let's dive on in. God, thank you so much that we have your written word. Lord, I'm grateful for it because we don't have to figure out, navigate, and try and do. But instead, we get to follow what it is you've put on the pages for us. So God, as we dive into the 12th chapter of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, we're going to do what the book of James tells us to do, to ask our Heavenly Father for wisdom who gives it without reproach. So Lord, I'm so grateful that you're giving us divine wisdom today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, let's check it out. Let's read Proverbs chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but one who hates correction is stupid. Whew. Tough words out the gate on verse 1. One who is good obtains favor from the Lord, but he condemns a person who schemes. No one can be made secure by wickedness, but the root of righteousness, the root of the righteous is immovable. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a wife who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are just, but the guidance from the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked are a deadly ambush, but the speech of the upright rescues them. The wicked are overthrown and perish, but the house of the righteous will stand. A man is praised for his insight, but a twisted mind is despised. Better to be disregarded yet have a servant than to act important but have no food. The righteous care about his animal's health, but even the merciful acts of the wicked are cruel. The one who works his land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies lacks sense. The wicked desire what evil people have caught, but the root of the righteous is productive. By rebellious speech, an evil person is trapped, but a righteous person escapes from trouble. A person will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the work of a person's hands will reward him. A fool's way is right in his own eyes, but whoever listens to counsel is wise. A fool's displeasure is known at once, but whoever ignores an insult is sensible. Whoever speaks the truth declares what is right, but a false witness speaks deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like a piercing sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue only a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. No disaster overcomes the righteous, but the wicked are full of misery. Lying lips are detestable to the Lord, but faithful people are his delight. A shrewd person conceals knowledge, but a foolish heart publicizes stupidity. The diligent hand will rule, but laziness will lead to forced labor. Anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up. A righteous person is careful in dealing with his neighbor, but the ways of the wicked lead them astray. A lazy hunter does not roast his game, but to a diligent person, his wealth is precious. There is life in the path of righteousness, and in its path, there is no death. Come on, so good. Proverbs chapter 13. Sorry, my allergy started hitting me like right as soon as I started hitting the chapter. But so good seeing one. Hey, if you have any verses that stand out to you, love hearing it like in this moment. If you have questions on any of the verses, just ask. Like, if it's what does this verse mean? I have no problem hitting pause and we will just talk about that verse for a little bit. I absolutely love just deviating just so we can answer those moments. But I'm just going to just start breaking down some verses for us and we can take a look at them. Again, so many of these are like standalone. So we can take a look at where those standalone verses are and we'll just see where God takes us from there. So let's start with Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but the one who hates correction is stupid." I think it's like strong words out the gate. Oh, that's why I love the Bible. It gets in our face. Like verse one is just like, hey, if you hate this, you're dumb. Like it kind of hurts for a second there. In our house, we actually avoid the stupid word. You know, it's not really something that's like huge in our place. And for myself, you know, and it kind of ties into a different verse inside of here. But for myself, I always feel like there's a kind way to say it. But let me just say this. Let's get after the heart of the author here. So what it's saying is whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. So when we love discipline, what we're saying is we like to have instruction, correction, training, or guidance inside of our life. So many of us growing up with our wonderful earthly parents, they all disciplined in a certain way. So myself, to let you know, I am, as my grandmother would say, it doesn't matter what else anyone brings to you, you are full blood Irish. I'll let you know, I've got a little bit of Italian in me, but to her, it was full blood Irish. She did not care. And that's because she's, you know, an Irish immigrant. So it was, you bleed green. And I would just say, yes, my mom, because I loved her and I was her lovey, right? But inside of our Irish culture on how discipline happened. So for me, and maybe some of you guys relate, for me, the wooden spoon was like let's say, the instrument of discipline inside of my home. I'm not even kidding. You knew it was bad because you know the sound when all the spoons and spatulas next to the stove all like clink together when you're grabbing one out? That's when I knew I was in trouble. It's not dinner time, and I hear the spoons going, and I like immediately it's like, oh no, right? But what I love is my dad had this really incredible sense of how to impart discipline in spite of having to follow it, actually, right? So for him, and I enjoyed this, for him, the discipline would come through in the conversation. It would come through in the, hey, this is what happened, this is what you did, and this is why I'm doing this. Does it make sense? And he would bridge the gap. And I always appreciated that because as he was teaching me, hey, what we're doing right now is a form of correction. It's not just me getting my anger out. And let me say, I know some of us, maybe many of us, have faced those moments with parents where it just feels like they have been getting their anger out. Maybe we were a child, and in the moment of discipline, rather than disciplining and correcting, they used it as a moment to express emotions. And I want to tell you that that really isn't the best place to. And I want to apologize to like to you on their behalf because it's a heartbreaking moment. Because as children, that could really mark us. But I want to say, when it's done right, discipline is such a beautiful thing. Because I'd say the way we often process discipline is very simply punishment. But I want to tell you that is not the heart of your father. You see, what's fun about discipline is that even the father disciplines those whom he loves. So when God is disciplining us, what he's saying is, hey, you're actually a legitimate child of mine, and I'm disciplining you to grow you. Pastor Danielle spoke about this a couple weeks ago, and I thought it was golden on understanding and having a good theology behind that there's a heavenly father that wants to grow us and mature us. because I like saying this often, there's nothing worse than growing old but not growing up. And we really want to grow up and become mature. So discipline helps us grow up. Discipline helps us start becoming like Jesus. But if we neglect discipline, here's the thing about the Father. He will keep on teaching us the same lesson and putting us through it until we actually finally grasp it. Which is why, let me just speak to your heart for a second here, right? This is why I'm a big time journaler. This is why I like to write things down. This is why and I'm pretty disgusting about it. You can ask Shannon, my wife, she says it's disgusting the way you keep track of things. And for me, it's just, mind you, let me just like tell myself, I have a horrible memory. Like it is really bad, especially with having a child since we've had him. Oh my gosh. When my sleep went out the window, my memory got that much worse. You could have told me it's raining outside and I'll forget in 3 seconds. I'm like 10 second Tom walking out the door. So all that to say, I love journaling everything. But one thing that God has taught me inside of my journaling, okay, when I start writing things down, I start realizing I'm facing the same situations over and over again. Does anyone else ever feel like that? Man, already, let me speak to the married couples. We're having the same argument. It's been 10 years. Where are my people at? Right? We've been having the same conversation for a decade, or maybe even some of our friends, right? Oh my gosh. We've been talking about the same thing for 20 years, right? It's this, nothing is new here. I feel like the author of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun, right? When I journal and I start realizing I'm in so many situations that seem to be playing on repeat in my life, I start to realize that God had been trying to teach me something in the middle of a situation that I had not yet grasped. He was really trying to impute a timeless truth and give me wisdom, show me a side of himself that I haven't grasped yet. And when I start analyzing my life and I really start saying, wow, God, thank you. Because I realize that in all of this, there's a form of discipline happening. There's a form of correction on my life. The bad situation that's happening right now, you may not have sensed it, but you're working inside of it. Because as Romans 8:28 would tell us, you work all things together for good for those who love you. And this form of discipline is to grow me and make me into a mature follower of Jesus. So I'm sharing this with you because if you even find yourself in the same situation, right? As I like to say, are you in a season or are you in a cycle? If you're in a season, ride out the season. If you're in a cycle, please hear me. Come on, Fusion Church, it's time to break the cycle. And here is how we break so many cycles. We recognize how the Father is disciplining us, growing us in the middle of it, and accepting the responsibility to grow. Come on now, right? Because I don't want to be stiff-necked saying, God, it's going to happen this way when the Lord wants to grow us and do it a different way. So accepting the discipline of Jesus. So that's the first kind of thing I want to talk about is a loving discipline, loving knowledge, and understanding that God sends people into our life to actually help discipline us, right? To help correct us, to help grow us. One thing I always know is, especially when we come into church world, so often we just kind of want rainbows, butterflies, unicorns. Come on, anyone else like that? Like I would just love everyone to be happy and party. Like I just want some good vibes. You know, I'm gonna be a millennial with you for a second. Just give me some good vibes. We're gonna have some fun. Let's have like a taco party. You know what I mean? It's not always like that. I wish it was, but it's not because we're all people and we all bring our quirks to the table, right? And that's the part where you say, I'm not quirky. And then I say, I know you, right? Because I know me and I know I'm quirky. And we all bring our different personalities to the table. And as we bring our personalities to the table, we realize that God is using the people around us to discipline us. So you see, teachability is actually this mark of wisdom that God wants inside of our lives. If you remain teachable as a Christ follower, teachable by the situations of life, teachable by the people around you, and in addition to that, teachable by the Lord Himself. I want to tell you, right in there is where we start to find wisdom, we start to find knowledge. There's a depth that begins to grow inside of us the more teachable that we are. So that's just verse one. Again, if you guys have any verses, be sure to drop inside of there. Would love to kind of just unpack them all with you. Next thing, I like this. Verse 3, no one can be made secure by wickedness, but the root of the righteous is immovable. The root of the righteous is immovable. When we look at our lives, I'm so curious how you feel about this. Do you ever feel like life is just tossing you back and forth, back and forth, back and forth? Come on, like it just doesn't end. It's like once I get to one end, I'm on the other end. I'm like a human weeble wobble, right? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I was very much so encouraged by this verse because no matter how tossed back and forth I may feel, I'm reminded that when I choose to live for Jesus, I am immovable inside of my soul. I can't always change the situation. Is anyone else like me? I'm curious if we have people that are just a little bit like me. Sometimes I wish I could just change a situation like that. Sometimes I could just make it happen. I would love, and people come to me and I love just like, connecting with people about like the different stuff going on in our lives. I often wish I could just snap my fingers and change the situation in their lives and in your lives, where someone's saying, "Hey, I wish I had this." And I'm like, "Man, I wish I was God so I could change it, but I don't want his problems," right? And everyone said, "Amen." I'm not smart enough for that. However, so often I just wish that I could change the situation. Man, my wife's car last week, this starter went on this car. And when I say we were underneath the car until 8 o'clock at night in the rain, fixing this thing and just trying to get that sucker going so we can make sure that she was on the road to get to where. Come on, every time the car breaks down, isn't it just so annoying? Every time something happens on it, it's like, oh, my life is getting hit, like put on pause for a second. The things that can happen in life can toss us back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Can I tell you can't control the situations in your life, but what you can control is yourself. I am always reminded that people are not responsible for the emotions that I feel. And I know that can be kind of taboo, but I really want to like break this down for you for a second, because when I read verses like this, that the root of the righteous is immovable, what that means is that when I'm living for Jesus, my joy is immovable. What that means is there's nothing you can do to affect my joy because it's immovable. When my peace is immovable, that means that my peace cannot be affected by you because it's immovable. Does that make sense? So when I look at verses like this, I'm always reminded that when situations come, when people come, when people want to bring their problems and when people want to bring their attitudes into our lives, come on, we all face those situations. We all have the coworker that drives us crazy. But can I tell you, that person is not responsible for how you feel. That person is very simply responsible for their actions. I'm responsible for how I feel. One phrase, and you may hate me this morning. I'm getting a little, I started with the verse on discipline and correction first. So I started with that first. Okay. Now I want to create a frame for us. But right, one of the phrases that I've had to get rid of out of my own life was this: you made me feel this way. And I had to stop and I realized, no, actually, a fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. So if I was living in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then I would have self-control over my emotions. No one made me feel that way. I allowed myself to feel a certain way. Doesn't make their actions okay, doesn't justify anything that they did. But what it did was it challenged me as a Christ follower to start getting accountable for my own emotions, feelings, and thoughts. Come on, somebody. And I started growing in this reality of, okay, if I want to be, as this verse says to us, the root of the righteous is immovable. If I want to be immovable in my life and have joy upon joy, then I have to stop allowing everything around me to dictate how it is I'm going to feel. Come on, Fusion Church, talk to me, right? If I want to have genuine peace in my life that's immovable, that every single time, and please hear me, as a recovering aggressive driver, come on, as a recovering road rage, I don't have a chip, but I deserve a chip. It's a recovering road rage person. Okay. If someone cuts me off in traffic and my piece goes through the window. Can we all agree? It's not Nana's fault who cut me off. It's me who is flying off the handle. I shouldn't be white knuckling the steering wheel every time I drive. There has to be accountability somewhere. Can I get an amen from Fusion Church, right? There has to be accountability somewhere. It's an immovable righteousness within me, and I can't pawn it off on everyone else. It can't be their responsibility. I think there's something that's lost amongst culture today, which is why I want to talk about this. It's just taking responsibility. And I'm not saying what they're doing is okay. Hey, please don't cut me off in traffic, okay? Because I have a little sound machine in my car that'll let you know. But all that to say, I want to have this immovable character inside of Jesus, this immovable integrity, because I truly believe in the moment of moments, people are watching and they want to see how we respond. They want to see if this peace that we talk about is real. And please hear me, if we talk about peace and we talk about Jesus can give you peace, and then the world is watching and Christ's followers are standing on the stage, and as soon as that situation comes that tests our peace and we lose it and throw it out the window, or if we're CC'd on an email and they put on there, to whom it concerns, and it's just like, oh yeah, I can tell you who it's about a concern. You know what I mean? Like, if we lose our peace and our joy over these little things, I want to tell you what's happening is our righteousness, our character is actually movable. We want to be immovable. So all this to say, hey, as we talk about verse one, as we tie into verse three, here's what I want to ask you, because here is where we go to the school of Father God. In the school of Father God, he wants to test us and grow us inside of our character, not just how situations pan out, but he wants to actually test who you are as a person. So my question for you is this: what is he testing inside of you right now? Are you open to his teachability and what he's growing inside of you? If he's looking to grow more patience, let him grow more patience. I want to tell you that is the test I face often. Please, like it's the patience test. While I'm sitting there trying to cook dinner, it is hot as all get out inside of that kitchen. I have an 11-month-old tugging on my leg, thinking it's hysterical. He's going to town, and I'm like, buddy, I need to get to the fridge. All while tripping on Mega Blocks. I'm like, man, you're not even old enough for Legos, and I'm already stepping on them. And right, and I'm sitting there. It's like, man, but I want my patience to be immovable, right? It's not about anything right now. It's about my character, and it's about showing people, right? My own son. It's about showing the world the character of a Christ follower. Be immovable today. Whatever it is that you're facing, right? Your boss may drive you crazy. Be immovable. Next verse I want to dive into is this, verse 25. Verse 25. You can turn the page, jump on down, verse 25. It says this: anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up. Anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up. You know, his term anxiety, I had the privilege and opportunity to preach on it a while back. And I want to tell you this topic is so difficult for so many. It is like a thorn in the side for so many Christ followers. And I want to tell you, even as I hear people just talking to them around the community, it's heartbreaking because anxiety is like a plague affecting people. Because I read the statistic that over 60% of individuals suffer from daily anxiety. And anxiety is this, let me break this down for you. Anxiety is this, it is the inner voice that says, what if? And it cripples us in fear. It cripples us in worry. But let me even frame this for you, because anxiety leaves you in a constant state of analysis, right? Anxiety leaves you in a constant state of analysis. Maybe you're an anxiety person, and you know what this is, because what happens is you start just assessing every situation, person, tone, the way something happened around you, and it's 24/7, and you just watch, and it's like analysis. You know what I mean? And it's like, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? Well, what if that happens? Then this will happen, and then you follow the rabbit trail. I'm saying this. I'm not a big anxiety person. It's just not my battle. I've battled anxiety, but before I've battled anxiety, I never really dealt with it. I have different battles, okay? I have different struggles in my life. Pride is the one I fight often. Anxiety just isn't my fight right now. But when it comes to all things anxiety, it's almost like this rabbit trail of what if, what if, what if, what if. And maybe you've been in the anxiety rabbit trail before. What if they don't call back? What if they don't like the way I said? What if I have to go talk to this person? What if it turns out like this? What if, what if, what if? I want to tell you, anxiety in its constant state of analysis will leave you in paralysis because there's this thing that happens that just gets this mental flow that never ends. It is literally paralysis by analysis. And we sit in this state of worry and never doing. And as I've heard so many preachers and say in the past, if you're scared, just do as scared. If you're freaked out, do it freaked out, right? Because I want to tell you, fear in and of itself looks at something and perceives it as a threat. I think snakes, that's a viable threat. I think it's okay to have that feeling in the pit of your stomach if a snake hisses at you. Okay, that freaks me out a little bit. And mind you, I have no problems with snakes. I'll chase a snake down, no worries. For me, spiders, don't like spiders. They're eight-legged demons. I don't know about how you feel or where you're at with spiders. I get you could just crush them with a newspaper, but nothing with eight legs should be walking on me. And Fusion Church said, Amen. Especially if you're as big as my palm. No spider should be bigger than this right here. That right there is called you escaped from the gates of Hades and you made it onto Earth somehow. What is it? The camel spider, whatever it is, wherever they are, I'm never going. That's an area of the world that God has not sent me. Right? But let me tell you, so there's fears that we can process inside of life. Love spiders, hate snakes. Well, Pat, I'll be calling you every time there's a spider. And I live in the woods, my friend. Anxiety is it just drowns in the what if. It's paralysis by analysis. Fear is perceived threats. Now, let me tell you this. So anxiety inside of a person's heart weighs it down. The Bible dictates and even shows us that anxiety is like a weight sitting on our chest. And maybe you've been there. I just gotten into working out recently and I'm reminded how heavy a 45-pound plate is as I work out. And in one of the workouts, you got to put the plate on your chest and go for it. And as I'm doing this workout and I'm, just rocking the plate, I put it down on my chest for a second just to get a deep breath because, come on, guys, we're going to finish that set. And everyone said, Amen. As I have it sitting on my chest, I realize how heavy anxiety really is because suddenly I can't breathe as easy. Suddenly I feel like I can't go anywhere because I'm stuck under the weight of the anxiety. And I wonder how many of us today feel that way, where the anxiety, what if, is weighing us down and holding us down. I want to tell you, the way to break out of anxiety so often is very simply this, and it even says right here, a good word cheers it up. A good word cheers up the heart. If you want to rid yourself of anxiety, if you want to rid yourself of paralysis in your life, you need a good word spoken over you. Because what anxiety will do, it will lie to you through your own thoughts and lie to you through the phrase, what if? I don't want to live in the lie. Come on. I want to live in the truth. And if I'm going to live in the truth, that means I have to know what the truth is. That means I have to grab this word and unpack it on a regular basis. And I want to say, if you're struggling right now with what is the good word over my life, here's the best thing you can do. Connect with Jesus. Jesus speaks a better word over you. Every single time when anxiety starts to enter my life, I realize that my identity is starting to shift and I have to remind myself who I am. The good word that has to be spoken inside of my heart is this. When the enemy's whispering in one ear saying you're guilty, the Spirit of God speaks within me and says, not guilty. Every single time the enemy comes up into my ear and starts saying, you're not enough, the Spirit of God within me starts to say, you are enough. Come on. Every time the enemy comes up to my ear and says, you're not worthy, the Holy Spirit within me says, you were worth it enough for Jesus to go to the cross for. It starts to change because the inner dialogue starts to change. And suddenly I stop fearing as much. As the enemy whispers, it'll never be different. The Spirit of God within me says, I change all things and make them new. So suddenly my faith starts to get built. And maybe that's where you are, where the anxiety, the what if, has really been weighing you down and sitting on your chest. I want to say the Holy Spirit within you wants to start speaking a better word and cheering up your heart. And in addition to that, while we have God and we have His word speaking into our life, as we have the beauty of Him shifting our identity and how we think, I want to tell you this. We want to get people in our corner and around us speaking into our lives to work through this thing called anxiety. You know, I always, I'm very big on this in my own life. I have people that speak into my life on a regular basis. I have mentors in my life that really journey with me through the thick of it. They're the ones that I work through my inner fears, inner struggles, inner whatevers with. And you know, there's something so incredible when you sit down with a mentor and they could see your heart for what it really is. I want to say this to you. You should get someone inside of your life that can speak the good word to you, whether it be that friend. I want to say this, you know, everyone needs a 3 a.m. friend. Every single person that walks this planet needs a 3 a.m. friend. And if you could sit here, right? If you're a note taker, right? I love my note takers. If you're a note taker, and if you can sit there and write, "My 3 a.m. friend is," and if you're able to fill in the blank right afterwards, hey, hear me. You are blessed. You are gifted. God has given you something so special. If you don't have a fill in the blank for that spot yet, I want to say to you, go get them. Because Fusion Church, hear me, Fusion Church is filled with 3 a.m. friends that want to journey with you. There are people, I want to tell you, there are people that are dying to pick up the phone and say, "Let me journey with you." There are people that are dying to say, "You're battling anxiety right now. Let me step into the trenches of it with you." Find that person that you could actually be vulnerable with. Because guess what? There's no shame here. There's no shame. Hey, how many of us, whether we're live or later on, could put our hands up and just say, "Yeah, I have battled with X. I've battled with anxiety. I've battled with fear. I've battled with pride. I've battled with lack of trust. Fill in the blank. I've battled with anger." We've all battled with it. And then what I love is that we have a church that says, "I'm not going to hide my junk. I'm not going to sit here and have the closet overflowing to the point where it's filled to the brim. I can't fit anymore inside of my soul. I got to open that thing up and work the junk out." So you and I, come on, church. This is us. We got to lock arms with one another. We have to grab the person next to us, that person that we see that skates into church and skates out of church as fast as humanly possible. Come on, we all know. We see them running through the lobby. Maybe you're the lobby runner. I'm calling you out. Hey, link arms with someone. Grab them. Be the 3 a.m. friend. You got to speak life into somebody. Because I want to tell you, here's Pastor Brennan preached this a while back, and it marked me. It was so good. Why is the Dead Sea called the Dead Sea? Because water runs into it, but it doesn't run out of it. I don't want to be a source where God's goodness runs into my life. His faithfulness runs into my life. His joy, his peace run into my life, right? When we talk about being immovable, I get immovable within myself. But then I'm not having it run out into the lives of anyone else. I got to be the one speaking the better word, cheering up some hearts. Come on. So I love you all. Hey, let's pray together because I think so many of us need that 3 a.m. friend, but we got to ask God to provide. I think so many of us need to start having immovable character, immovable joy, but we got to pray and welcome the Holy Spirit into that process. I think so many of us have a breakthrough on the other side of discipline today, but we have to pray for a teachable spirit. So come on, let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are developing us. God, you're growing our character, you're growing our personalities, you're growing our mindsets, how we think, how we act. So, Spirit of God, we just welcome you right now. Lord, I just pray you would give us a teachable spirit within us that wants to learn, that wants to grow in knowledge through correction. God, I'm so grateful that you don't just leave us high and dry and say, "Figure it out," but instead you journey with us through the thick of it. And Lord, I just pray that you would make us immovable today. That God, we would be so strong in our character that the outside influences don't influence us, but instead, we influence them. And Lord, I just pray for all those who need the 3 a.m. friend. Spirit of God, I just pray that you begin to link people up together, that they know who they can call and when, that they know they can reach out, they know they have a foundation, they know they have a someone in their life. So God, I just thank you that you're growing community inside of people. We just ask for provision on provision on provision in Jesus' matchless name. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, I love you all. Have an incredible day.